Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And welcome to this Thursday edition of the Hamilton Corner. And yes, you probably have already guessed, I'm not Abe Hamilton. I am Fred Jackson. And what an honor it is to be able to sit in this chair. Abe Hamilton normally here at this time each day, Monday through Friday. But Abe is away doing busy things with American Family Association this week. And just a pleasure to sit in for him today. And we got another busy day. We will try to keep you informed on the very latest news that's happening out there. And joining me in studio right now is one of our reporters from American Family News, and his name is Chris Woodward. Chris, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Chris covers a variety of stories for us, and one of them being education has been for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to talk to you right off the top of the show today about an event that is happening in many schools across the country tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You may have heard it's called the Day of Silence. Now, when you hear that Day of Silence, you may think, well, what's wrong with that? It's nice to have kids keeping their mouths shut for a while, you mm-hmm. know, and staying silent. But that is not what this is all about. So, Chris, describe to us basically the thrust of what Day of Silence is all about and why parents should be concerned.
All right. Well, Day of Silence is sponsored by an organization known as the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, or
GLSEN. Hint number one.
Right. Now, the Day of Silence is a student-led national event that GLSEN says individuals take a vow of silence to highlight what GLSEN calls the silencing and erasure of LGBTQ people at school. But speaking this morning on American Family Radio, Linda Harvey of Mission America, one of our many commentators, Linda said the Day of Silence amounts to discrimination of Christians and other people of faith because it amounts to what she called a day of propaganda. Students do all sorts of things. Teachers even are free to post things. Things that basically shut down any kind of counterpoint or concern from a Christian or really any person of faith, not just a Christian. And it's not just Linda that has expressed concerns about this. Earlier this week, the American Family Association sent out an action alert warning people about this, urging parents like Linda Harvey to keep their kids home on the Day of Silence. AFA actually goes so far as to say you should call your local school and ask whether they permit students or teachers to remain silent in the classroom on the Day of Silence. AFA does point out the following. Don't ask any administrator, school board member, or teacher if the school sponsors, endorses, or supports the Day of Silence. Schools do not technically sponsor the Day of Silence. Technically, it is students, often students in the Gay Straight Alliance, who sponsor it. So you might not get the exact answer. You might get a vaguely worded response. So take note of that. But find out what exactly your school does, if anything, and make an informed decision. Don't go into this unknowingly. You can read more about the AFA Action Alert by going to afa.net. We also have the message to parents, keep kids home, avoid silence, on our website, onenewsnow.com. It's in the big five, as we call it there, the big window. When you go to onenewsnow.com, the picture will be kind of an empty classroom with some red desks.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's to be honest, let's be just brutally frank about this. This is it may not be officially organized by your school or your school district, but there is certainly an endorsement mm-hmm. of the activity. It's a propaganda day for the homosexual agenda.
Right. And it's also a double standard because oftentimes when it comes to like prayer or invocation at a graduation, it will be a student-led moment. And that is what people always point to is, look, you know, it's student-led, you can't do anything about it. But you know as well as I do that the ACLUs and FFRFs of the world still complain about those things. But here, they're actually encouraging students to step up and speak out, or in this case, be silent, to try to force-feed a lot of people what they don't want to hear. And it may be an issue where somebody, you know, they may not object to it on a faith reason, but they just don't want to deal with that. A school should not be a place for that, in their opinion. But even in this particular case, they are basically force-feeding people what they believe, and you can't do anything about it.
Now, it's late in the afternoon, early evening, depending on what time zone you are across the country. So I think the advice to parents at this point who are listening right now may be to ask your kids who have come home from school today, what have you heard at school this week?
Oh, sure.
So get informed of what may happen. Do kids who don't show up for school tomorrow, say, and Christians have been doing this, they just keep their kids at home because why expose them to basically what we say this day of propaganda for the homosexual agenda? I'm not aware of any kids that get in trouble for staying at home.
I'm not either. Now, our friend, an acquaintance there out in California, Brad Dacus at Pacific Justice Institute, they have for many years now offered opt-out forms and things of that sort to give parents a way out of these kinds of things. It might not be a day of silence event. It might be some sort of curriculum or seminar assembly that deal with these gay and lesbian straight education network type programs. So if you want more information on that as well, you could go to the Pacific Justice Institute website. Brad's group would be happy to help you out with that as well.
Yeah, and I think it's a real education for parents because many times I think today, obviously parents aren't informed, and I'm thinking of the horrific incident in near Sacramento, California last year, which involved a charter school, right, in this case, not a public school, but a charter school where the teacher in an elementary setting, so we're talking 5 and 6 year old kids, this teacher took it upon herself to read books that basically endorsed, talked about in positive ways, transgenderism. So much so, and mom and dads didn't know about this until after the fact. And so their little girls and little boys come home. I remember hearing some parents say their little girl came home and she was scared to death crying because she thought she might turn into a little boy.
Right.
Well, this became a big issue in the school district out there. The parents were outraged about this. The school district's response was, well, we'll have another meeting during the summer. So this was last summer. Here's what they decided. Teacher didn't do anything wrong. In fact, what we're going to do is pass a policy that we don't have to tell the parents
right.
when we're going to do this. And in fact, just in the last couple of months, the teacher at that chartered school who thought it wise to indoctrinate little 5 and 6 year olds on this was named Charter School Teacher of the Year. So that's the kind of climate we're not saying. We know there are Christian teachers out there and we praise the Lord for you and we understand the environment you're working in.
Right.
But I think all of this, Chris, goes to the fact that parents need to be aware of what is going on in their schools. Talk to your kids. Talk to your school board members.
Right. And you can read more about the story. We've covered the issues involving the charter school teacher there. If you go to onenewsnow.com, in the top right of the page is a search box. If you type in the words Rocklin, California, and I believe the name of the town was Rocklin, California, charter school teacher, you'll see our coverage of that. Shout out to one of the local TV stations in that area because they actually covered that issue in what I thought was a very good news report because they covered the issue, they had sound from the teacher who, of course, defended her actions, but they also had kind of a man on the street moment with many of the upset parents at that school board meeting or whatever it might have been called there for that charter school. Oftentimes, the reason I bring this up is because oftentimes these issues never appear in a local television broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
But that station saw that as a news story and did a fantastic job of covering it. We included some of their information in our coverage of it, and I believe that story is still up at onenewsnow.com.
And part of that is the parents went to the school board meeting
right.
and let it be known that they were not going to tolerate. Now, what a lot of these parents did, they took their kids out of school.
Mm-hmm.
That's and they homeschooled or whatever the case may
right.
be. But and sometimes, Chris, when we do these stories and we're referencing California on this, and by the way, Day of Silence, that's tomorrow's across the country. But many times we have a lot of folks that listen in the Bible Belt.
Right.
And they say, well, that's California. That'll never happen here. Let me relate to you a phone call we had in the newsroom today.
Okay.
And this was from a listener in the Bible Belt.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling us at prayer meeting, at their church last night, she had a little boy come up to her. Now, this is the Bible Belt. Little boy came up to her and said, and I think he was elementary school, he had been suspended for 3 days. Okay, why have you been suspended? Mm-hmm. And this is what he said. Because I refused to address a fellow student who was a boy, who now said he was a girl, mm-hmm. and I refused to address him with the girl's name. Now, this is a Southern Bible Belt school. Little boy suspended for 3 days because he refused to address that person who was a, he knew him as a boy, but now that person, that little other kid said, I'm a girl now, and right. you must address. This sort of thing is happening across the school, the country. It has infiltrated. It doesn't matter where you live. As I say, we often talk about, and we're going to deal with another story from California in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But parents, no matter where you live, no matter how conservative you may perceive your community, and in this case, the teacher made the complaint against the little boy. The principal says he had no choice. He had to carry this out. But here's the thing. This goes back to parents being on alert and being aware of what's going on in your schools.
Right. And also, how many times, like I've been here for 8 years. We were talking before the show how long I've been here. I've been here 8 years. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've heard some guest on an AFR talk or an Urban Family Talk program say that Christians need to step up and run for offices. They need to run for things like the school board. Mm-hmm. If the body of Christ is more active and involved in these situations, I believe we would see less and less of them, mm-hmm. not just in the Bible Belt, but in other parts of the country where we do know there are people of faith serving in government roles. But unfortunately, in many areas, there are more secular people serving than people of faith, and that is why a lot of this gobbledygook gets forced on people.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Before we have to go to the break, just very quickly, some great news out of California right. this afternoon. There was an effort in the California legislature to put and enforce and impose more regulations on homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, what they wanted to do, Chris, one of the things, they wanted to require fire inspections on all homeschooling families. Really? I mean, fire inspections on your home, if you homeschooled your kids? And it also sought to mandate state disclosure of the names and addresses of homeschool families. Mm-hmm. So it was basically... That's government in California. I think a lot of them that just figure that homeschooling, you're not getting a good education, and that's an accusation that's labeled against homeschoolers. Right. I'm a homeschool dad. We homeschooled our girls. They're grown up now. We homeschooled them for 15, 16 years. And so you're going to face that opposition. But praise the Lord. Something great happened there. Parents descended upon the California yes, legislature.
In California.
Hundreds, that's we right. are told. They showed up. They showed up, the parents showed up, and the legislators vamoosed.
Oh, sure.
They left.
Yeah. Going back to Brad Dacus, I mentioned him at the start of the program. Brad's president of Pacific Justice Institute, but he said, and I quote, "This is a victory worth celebrating. For many years, Pacific Justice Institute has been a leader in defending homeschoolers in California, including the landmark defense of homeschooling and Jonathan L., and we were honored to stand with them throughout this process. All is not lost in California, where when we stand together, we can still make a difference."
Amen. It's so funny. Brad describes it this way. When it came time to vote, the legislators left.
Oh, sure.
They didn't have a quorum, so this effort died because moms and dads showed up.
Oh, sure. And, you know, Brad said this as much a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, on Sandy's program, I believe, Sandy Riss in the morning on AFR Talk. But Brad had said homeschooling has been alive and doing well in California for many years.
Uh-huh.
So there were a lot of people that were yes. going to be impacted by this, which was in response to a situation involving one homeschooling family that someone went to the extreme on.
Hey, listen, AFA is about educate and motivate, and that's what we do. All right, much more ahead here on the Hamilton Corner. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe today. Chris is going to stay with us. We're back right after the break.
protecting women and children in Mississippi. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. In Mississippi, a bill just passed the state Senate by 75% to ban abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The reason for this specific age is that after that time period, abortionists use the dilation and evacuation procedure. This is barbaric and has been proven to be dangerous to the mother. This bill protects not only the child's life, but also the mother's health. This type of human genocide causes many health problems after it has been completed. Some of these problems include the increased need for a hysterectomy, psychological problems, laceration, and even hemorrhage. If this bill becomes law, it will place us one step closer to protecting the lives of our mothers and innocent children. Stay informed with how Liberty Counsel is helping to make the womb a safe place once again. Sign up for our free Liberty Alerts at lc.org.
The influence of media is so very powerful over a person.
American Family Association and the family of Anna Bright want to warn you about the Netflix program 13 Reasons Why.
I really feel in my heart, with all my soul, that that show contributed to her passing.
After binge watching season one of 13 Reasons Why, 14-year-old Anna Bright committed suicide in the same manner depicted on the show.
To portray suicide, first of all, as an option, is not a good thing. To portray it graphically, it leaves you vulnerable to the enemy's attack, which I think it definitely did for our daughter.
She took a permanent solution to a temporary situation.
Help protect our teens by signing the AFA petition urging Netflix to pull season one and cancel the upcoming season two of 13 Reasons Why. You can see Anna's story and sign the petition at afa.net. That's afa.net.
This is Tim Armstrong from the Worthy Walk radio program. I encourage you to listen as we work verse by verse through the scriptures each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. Join me as we explore the Word of God and learn to apply its truths to our lives each day. The Worthy Walk radio program, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio.
You wish you could stop thinking about it, but you can't. It never quite leaves your thoughts. Even in the joyful moments, it's there. The sadness, shame, and sorrow. You know you can't go on like this, so don't. Phone the International Helpline for Abortion Recovery at 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who's already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
And welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Fred Jackson sitting in for our good friend Abe today. Hey, listen, we treasure Abe around this place. In case you don't know, but I mean, if you listen to the Hamilton Corner every day, along with being our chief counsel here at American Family Association, Abe's a great radio host, and he's a great preacher, too. I tell you what, if you can, get Abe to come to your church. You will have an incredible service. He is so knowledgeable. He spoke at a Truth for a New Generation conference. Dr. Alex McFarland sponsored that over in Greensboro, North Carolina, back a few weeks ago. And I had the pleasure of going there and listening. And I think Abe was the first speaker on the night of that conference. I tell you what, if you're having a conference and you want to get everybody going, Abe should be your first speaker at that conference. But I tell you, he's a man who knows God's word. And again, I'm not telling Abe's audience anything they don't know. He knows God's word, loves the Lord, loves God's word. Great family guy, has a wonderful family. So I tell you what. By the way, he knows the Constitution too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that. So he's a real treasure. So we appreciate him. And Lord willing, he'll be back in this chair on Monday. Now, it is not Pick on California Day. It may sound like that to you folks, but it's not. But we talk about California so often because what starts there, a lot of people get worried it's going to spread across the country. Now, the next story has been talked about on our network a number of times, but we need to keep reminding folks And this has to do with Assembly Bill 2943. And basically, it is within the encompass of a kind of not the way you would expect it. It's a consumer section of their state law. Mm-hmm. But what they're adding is a clause in there that has, it's kind of a non-discrimination clause that they're imposing on books and services. And basically it's this, that you can't talk in negative terms about homosexuality, that for instance, that any books that would promote the idea of conversion therapy for a homosexual or transgender would be outlawed. The real concern is, of course, God's word, Chris.
Yeah.
Certainly, whether it's Romans 1 or we go back into the Old Testament, homosexuality, folks, in God's word is never put in a positive light. And so there's real concern amongst pastors. And I want to play for you, and we've done this a couple of times, but just as a demonstration of the attitude of the California Assemblyman, that's one of those who's really pushing this. This Assemblyman's name is Al Mertucci, and this is what he had to say on the floor of the legislature with regards to those who might oppose this bill from a Christian point of view. Cut five.
I want to make it absolutely clear that the First Amendment does not prohibit banning fraudulent conduct. The faith community, like anyone else, needs to evolve with the times. The science is clear. When you look at the support list, it includes the California Medical Association, the California Psychological Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics. So the claim that the First Amendment can be used as a defense for promoting fraudulent conduct is a fallacious argument.
Now, if Abe was here, I know what he would say about that. The First Amendment is still in place in this country, folks. And the idea that this assemblyman would say that all of a sudden what has been the norm for thousands of years, i.e. that homosexuality is a sin, that your First Amendment rights do not cover that point of view anymore. And this is what has, and it's not only in California, it's pastors and Christians across the country, because as this assemblyman says, hey, the answer to your objection to this, Chris, is you have to evolve right. your views.
Right. And I can tell you from covering issues involving healthcare, I can't say it specifically about all those medical groups that he mentioned, but I have heard concerns and criticisms from groups, medical groups, that a lot of those organizations or those types of scientific medical organizations have gone liberal. They've gone against what they used to do. They're pushing things now that are not scientifically proven or things that are still, people still have objections to. So to throw out some big name groups that somebody might have heard of as your piece of evidence might not necessarily back up what you're trying to do there. But Steve Jordahl has a piece for this on us today, and he does mention, if passed and signed into law, the bill would ban advertising in any tangible goods or services for personal, family, or household use, offering or engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with an individual. In other words, if a good such as a book or a service, such as a Christian conference, claim to help someone with unwanted same-sex attraction, those goods and services would be illegal in California. So that is a major concern here, and certainly it's already gotten through the Assembly. It's now at the California State Senate. We are watching this, and we'll continue to speak out against it based on the nonsense that gentleman just shared.
Yeah, and just to bring it down where what could happen if this was to become law in California, authorities could go into a Lifeway bookstore,
right.
and they could go along the shelves, and if there was a book about counseling people who have elected to go into the homosexual lifestyle, if there was a counseling book to saying, hey, no, there's a way out of this, or transgenderism, whatever the case may be, counseling, a book on counseling with regards to those tendencies, then those books could be confiscated by authorities. And here's the concern of a pastor preaching from God's word about biblical marriage, and that homosexual marriage is not only illegal, it's against God's will. There are pastors in California, and today Janet Medford on her program at noon Central Time here in American Family Radio. She spoke to a pastor from California. I want to play a little bit of what he had to say about what his approach to this is. His name is Pastor Manuel Gonzalez of Calvary Chapel in Winnetka, California, which is north of L.A. And he says he plans on defying this assembly bill, which this ban on conversion material. So let's have a listen to what he has to say, what he plans to do. Pastor Manuel Gonzalez.
I am committed to preach the gospel. And nobody is going to tell me that I cannot. You know, I've talked to a couple other pastors that I know, and they are equally committed to not standing for this. And our intention is, if this thing passes the Senate, California Senate, we are going to purposely record a sermon about God's view of homosexuality and human sexuality. And my plan is to send one of the CDs to the people who have sponsored this bill, requesting a dollar, and I'm also going to include a gift card to Chick-fil-A to say thank you to them.
So there he has it. He's always made up his mind, Pastor Manuel Gonzalez, and he says there are others there in California that plan to defy this. Now, some, I'll call them highbrow Christians, may say, well, he ought to not to do that, right. Civil disobedience. But you know what? There is a point when a law is made in a state or a federal law that curtails the preaching of God's word, then I believe Scripture is very clear, as the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul taught respect to authorities,
right.
But when it came to being forced to compromise on the truth of God's word, this pastor, I think, is right in line with Paul's teaching in Scripture. That is a time when you have to count the cost,
right.
Because we can't be muzzled as Christians. The Word of God must go out, and the Word of God cannot be compromised by some law.
Yeah, and people need to understand, too, including highbrow Christians, that when you try to counsel somebody, be it a homosexual or a heterosexual, when you try to help that person, when you try to witness to them, when you try to tell them about Jesus Christ and how He can change lives and still does, You are doing that out of love. Despite what they want to say, love trumps hate, and let's be stronger together, and kumbaya, and all that stuff that they want to do. Clearly, they're not backing that up on Twitter. But when you are sharing the gospel with somebody, when you're trying to help them, which is what we try to do on an hourly basis here on AFR Talk, you're doing so out of love. And love doesn't just mean affection for someone, like, oh, I love you. It means that you care about the good and well-being of that individual. We care about your souls. Again, whether you are heterosexual, homosexual, whatever, we are trying to do what we do and reach you with the gospel message because we love you.
Mm-hmm.
And these lawmakers don't know that. Maybe we need to be better communicators at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a conversation I personally maybe would be willing to have with somebody. But we do need to be mindful of those things. We need to be, I think, more open about why it is that we're doing what we're doing to try to witness to them. Because when you have those conversations, you are witnessing to that individual.
Mm.
And who knows, maybe that's why the conversation got started and you might actually lead them to Christ. And then they will be one of those ex-whatevers.
Yeah, exactly. And there's just a mood in this country that has evolved over the last several years that it's okay to attack Christianity. You know, earlier today, Mike Pompeo, who has been our CIA director, he was finally confirmed in the full Senate as their new Secretary of State. The vote was, I believe, 57 to 42, with several Democrats joining the Republicans in approving him. Mike Pompeo, member of Congress, a graduate of Harvard Law School, member of the legislature from Kansas, most recently CIA director. We know now that he's been in North Korea just a couple of weeks back to try to set up the meeting between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. But during his confirmation hearing, his Christian beliefs were called into question
right.
by Senator Cory Booker. This would not have happened I don't think this would have happened even under Bill Clinton.
No, it wouldn't. Bill Clinton, by the way, is the one that signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and Al Gore talked about how it protected people of faith and whatever else. Talk about a change of, you know, atmosphere. Yeah. In the 20, how many ever years it's been since then.
It was really an amazing moment. And if you want to listen to this exchange, folks, if you haven't heard it yet, you can go to YouTube, where Senator Cory Booker basically says to right. Mike Pompeo that he went back, Senator Booker, he went back and to some radio interviews that Mike Pompeo had done, and where Mike Pompeo clearly expressed his view that marriage ought to be between a man and a woman only, biblical marriage.
Right.
And that, and so he was questioned on that, and basically the bottom line from Senator Cory Booker was, because you believe in biblical marriage, because you believe that homosexual marriage is wrong, that makes you unfit for this office. Now, Mike Pompeo said, in my time in the in Congress, in my time as CIA director, I treated all of my staff members with respect. I did not verbally abuse people who disagree with my Christian beliefs. But Senator Cory Booker felt comfortable enough, knowing the cameras were on him, knowing the public would see this,
right,
in saying that his Christian beliefs, Mike Pompeo's Christian beliefs, disqualified him to be Secretary of State.
Right, and you can't tell me, like Booker used to be the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. That's mm-hmm. how he kind of got into, you know, national attention there. He developed a friendship with Governor Chris Christie at the time, things like that. You can't tell me there is not a pastor somewhere in the state of New Jersey, perhaps even in the city of Newark, New Jersey, that does not have the same views mm-hmm. as Mike Pompeo.
Mm-hmm.
But Cory Booker would not say that to them.
Yeah, he also wouldn't say that if Mike Pompeo was Islamic.
Sure.
And let's be clear, in Islam, homosexuality is condemned.
Mm-hmm.
If Mike Pompeo was an Islamic person, if he was Muslim, I do not believe Cory Booker would have brought this up.
Oh, no. And to be honest with you, he would probably have held the same opinion against a Jewish person who, Jews are obviously of another religion or faith practice that also believe homosexuality is a sin.
Yep.
So clearly they're being unfair to Christians. And this is not the only senator. It's not the only person in government that has attacked a person of faith in the Trump administration. We had the situation involving Russell Vogt, I believe it was. Bernie Sanders tried to take him to task and went all Bernie Sanders on him. Certainly, we covered that. But around that same time, maybe before, two senators, Feinstein out of California and Franken out of Minnesota before he got in trouble, they both took a judicial nominee named Amy Coney Barrett, who is a devout Catholic. She was a Notre Dame professor at the time. President Trump nominated her for a federal judgeship of some sort, and they both took her to task for her Christian beliefs. Feinstein said, your dogma speaks through you, or you know, something like that. You can watch that on YouTube. Franken got all hot and bothered because she has appeared at events that were connected to Alliance Defending Freedom, which works tooth and nail to defend people like Amy Coney Barrett, Jack Phillips, and others, the Brush and Nib Studio ladies out of Phoenix. So this, unfortunately, is probably not going to be the last time, because all these people are part of the resistance movement, whether they admit it or not, and they're going to continue to use these moments to get on television, maybe even get us to talk about them on radio, and they'll try to use them for their advantage, which is why people tell you to vote.
Yep, and I tell you what, it is a time, Christians, when you better know what you believe and why you believe it, because I really do believe the day and age in which Paul spoke about in these last days,
right,
that we would face this kind of opposition. But you know, there's real opportunity right now too, because you can let your light shine, Christian, like never before. And you can do like Pastor Manuel Gonzalez mm-hmm. there. You can do like Russell Vogt did before Bernie Sanders, when Bernie Sanders questioned him about believing in the exclusivity of the gospel, making him unfit for a government
right.
job. Those are the kinds of things, these are the kinds of times that we can shine
oh, sure.
in our Christian beliefs. Chris Woodward, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Good to have you with
yes,
us today.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, We are going to let you know and report on Diamond and Silk. You know them? They were on Capitol Hill today. Oh, hey, listen, we'll be right back.
Nearly one in four pregnancies in America will end in abortion. The Ministry of Preborn provides free ultrasounds for abortion-minded women throughout America. When a mother sees her baby on an ultrasound and hears the baby's heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to keep her baby.
They introduced me to my child for the first time through an ultrasound. I was able to see this life growing inside of me, hear the heartbeat, and nothing else mattered at that point. I wasn't afraid anymore. I got to meet my child for the first time, and it changed everything. I was a mother to be.
Your gift of $140 will cover the cost of five ultrasounds. All donations are tax deductible, and 100% of your gift goes to saving babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. You know, we just got back from Southeast Houston. We were there from March 10th to March 24th. We did our first ever back-to-back trips. That's right, 8 Days of Hope 14 and 15. Saw 4,692 volunteers come from all over the country. In fact, from all over the world. And God allowed us to help 844 families rebuild their homes. Some got brand new roofs. Some picked out brand new kitchen sets. We put flooring in, insulation, drywall. It wasn't just the rebuilding work that was done, because about $10.4 million of work was done for free, but it was the lives that were impacted for Jesus. We had volunteers and homeowners alike fall on their knees and say yes to our Father in heaven. Thank you so much. And that's why we do 8 Days of Hope. Hey, if you're interested in being part of 8 Days of Hope, just go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and we'll contact you anytime we go anywhere to love and serve those in need.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Parents in Orange County, California may not opt their children out of lessons on LGBT culture. That's according to a memorandum written by the school district's general counsel. Students of all ages are required to take classes on gender identity and sexual orientation. The mandatory classes part of California's Healthy Youth Act. The lawyer went on to say parents do not have a constitutional right to override the determinations of the state legislature or the local school district. The idea that parents do not have the constitutional right to determine what's best for their child is downright evil. Our nation's public schools have been turned into indoctrination centers, and we must rise up and say no more. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German theologian, once said, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself." Friends, we are facing evil in our great nation, and we must not be silent. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
And indeed, welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on this Thursday. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe today. It is an honor, as I say, to sit in for Abe. And he is a precious commodity here at American Family Radio and on Urban, obviously, as well. Hey, listen, want to hear from you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. You want to chime in. Are you ready? Are you ready? I think persecution is coming in this country. And as we were saying, you got to know what you believe and why you believe it. I think it's a great time of opportunity for Christians to let their light shine, but we need to be praying for these Christians in California who may be facing this, what I think is draconian possibility of laws, which would outlaw even the Bible, many pastors believe, especially a Bible, obviously, that teaches that homosexuality is a sin. It could outlaw books on counseling, Christian counseling against homosexuality and helps that try to bring people out of that lifestyle, transgenderism. So there's real concern in California. There's real concern across the country that it could happen here. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Now, if you watch Fox and Friends in the morning from time to time, you may have heard of this dynamic duo, Diamond and Silk. All right. Their real names are Lynette Hardaway and Rochelle Richardson, but they go by Diamond and Silk. Some would say they made the mistake of coming out and saying they support Donald Trump. Well, I'll tell you what, they're not backing away from that support. And recently, they made a lot of headlines across the country. They got in a battle with Facebook because Facebook took their page down because they didn't like the opinions of Diamond and Silk. Well, today, Diamond and Silk went to Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Don't know if Abe was there. That would have been a treat to be in the room with Diamond and Silk. So we weren't there, but we want you to bring you a little bit because they were there to testify before the House Judiciary Committee, and they took the opportunity again to give their opinions on what Facebook had done to them. So cut number four.
Facebook censored our free speech, and shame on the ones that don't even see that we have been censored. Yet, when the Black Lives Matter people complain about it, oh, everybody is up in arms. Let me just say this here. If the shoe was on the other foot and Mark Zuckerberg was a conservative and we were liberals, oh, all fences and all chains would have broke loose. You know it and I know it. Democrats. But what I find appalling is that these Democrats, they don't want to take up for our voice.
Democrats would be in the street. Democrats would be in the street right now,
like
marching
to,
and
I'd
calling
like
him all type of racist.
I'd like to give you a little bit more right time.
A good luck on that. I would have loved to have been in that room. Hey, listen, we need more Diamond and Silk type individuals in this country to stand up for what you believe. Do not back down. Speak out. They've won their battle so far with Facebook, as far as I know. Mark Zuckerberg, imagine that. He backed down. Their case, remember when Mark Zuckerberg was testifying before Congress last week? Their case, Diamond and Silk, was a specific question. I think it was Senator Ted Cruz brought it up to Zuckerberg, and Zuckerberg had to say, hey, we made a mistake. No, I don't think it was a mistake on Facebook's part. They have, what, thousands of people who are monitoring these sites. I think it was very deliberate. Their site was taken down because of their conservative beliefs. But thank God for Diamond and Silk. Thank God they showed up today to testify. And they made their feelings loud and clear. And that's what we have to do, folks. We have to be bold throughout Scripture. We have to be bold. We have to be respectful. But we have to be bold in what we believe, no matter what the cost. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Let's go first to Alabama. And Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to the Hamilton Quarter.
Well, hello. I love your show.
Okay. Good to have you.
Well, I just wanted to say, first of all, that God loves all of us, and I think that what they're trying to snuff out, that our God is a God of love, and that he wants all of us to come to him and know him and all make it to heaven. Of course, we know we're all not going to make it to heaven, but I love Diamond and Silk. I have watched them on YouTube, and I'm just so glad they're back on. And I also want to say that I have been very bold in how I am a Christian, and I teach my grandchildren how important it is to know the Word of God and his Bible. And I call CNN every single day to tell them about the love of God and how the American people that are Christians and others know that they are, what they're doing is trying to stuff out Christianity. And I talk to them every day. And I'm standing bold.
So what does CNN say when you talk to them?
Oh, they just keep sending me to where I speak. Well, I've talked to the ladies that answer the phone, and they hang up on me, and then I call back and leave messages. And, of course, they're always full, so I have to call them back to send me to a place that the messages aren't full because they don't want to hear it, but they're going to hear it. They're going to hear it. I'm going to keep telling them.
All right, Carol, that's your ministry, right?
That's my ministry.
Amen. Good for you. Carol, thanks for the call, and thanks for your faithfulness. We appreciate it, and so does God. Jamie in North Carolina, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Go ahead, Jamie.
Good evening, sir. Permission to come aboard your faithful ship, sir.
You are welcome aboard, sir.
I called your call screener that I'd like to bounce a couple of ideas off of you, if I may.
Sure.
The first subject is this, I'll use my own vernacular, this liptard professor
mm-hmm.
who's standing strong in her so-called faith,
mm-hmm.
who states so vainly that, oh, she can't be moved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm wondering, how come the body of Christ doesn't deploy that kind of flotation device? And it's just, how about we just start standing and using the laws of the land
mm-hmm.
as they're written for our benefit
mm-hmm.
and not caring what they think? Because here's another example. You may have heard there was a guy, I believe, in the East Coast who came into a bar. He frequented a bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was wearing a Trump hat.
Right.
And this guy, the owner said, you must leave.
Yeah.
Now, how come a liberal judge will back that up, but a very faithful Christian baker can't say what goes on in his place
yep.
in his establishment?
Mm-hmm.
And you see, we need to start banding together as the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
And that's just one idea. Go ahead, sir.
No. I heard that story in the last couple of days. This was a guy. I don't agree with him going into a bar, but he had a Trump hat on. Make America great again. And he was basically told that you can't wear that cap in here. So that bar, the bar owners, the bar operators, the managers, were acting according to their belief system. They didn't like that point of view. And you're exactly right, Jamie. Why is it that it's okay for that person? And I think the latest story on this is that a judge upheld the right of the bar to basically throw that guy out of the bar because of his Trump hat. So the operators of the bar didn't agree with the political point of view of that individual. And you're right to ask the question, why is it a Christian baker who has a point of view, a biblical point of view on homosexuality, gets hauled into court and told, no, you don't have a choice. You either shut down or you go against your Christian beliefs. The hypocrisy in that, the double standard, is amazing. And Jamie, thank you. And I also like your reference to that liberal professor in California who had such horrible things to say about Barbara Bush. And know what? She came back and said, hey, I'm paid $100,000 a year. I got tenure. You can't do anything to me. I get so fed up with university professors in general, these liberals especially. This idea of tenure that you can't fire me, I think that's garbage, quite frankly.
Especially
if you're a public university and you're paid with taxpayers' dollars, taxpayers ought to have the right to fire you.
Yes, sir.
And, that's just an opinion.
One more thing, if I may, please,
mm-hmm.
sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to also state this buffoonic termite Comey,
mm-hmm.
this traitor from our country. He is blatantly outright using a felony, and he's laughing in the face of us citizens, mm-hmm. taxpayer citizens, saying he can't be touched.
Yep.
And I just don't understand how these clowns in Washington are getting away with blatantly breaking the law. And if we, in as much have a broken registration plate light, mm-hmm. we could be summoned or go to jail.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand
it. It's all part, Jamie, thank you so much for your comments. It's all part of the swamp that needs to be drained badly. And I'm being overly optimistic, but I do believe with time that the protections that have been around James Comey, the former FBI director, are slowly peeling away. Because more and more, some of the text messages are getting out in the public, and we're starting to learn more and more that James Comey was up to no good. He used his professor friend, who he had given a special status at the FBI, to leak memos of conversations that he had with President Trump, to leak memos to, I think it was the New York Times and or the Washington Post. And so that's all coming out. So people are learning. You know what? The more he talks, he's on this little book tour right now, the more he talks, the more we get to know James Comey and his real character, and I think there is some health in that. Sooner or later, proud people, people with big egos like James Comey, those egos begin to take their price. All right, let's continue with a few more calls here. Charles in West Virginia. Charles, welcome.
Hey,
go ahead.
Every time I turn on AFR, you're substituting for somebody. You getting extra pay?
No. I'm Mr. Substitute.
You tell Tim you need extra pay.
All right. I'll tell you what. Call Tim and tell him that.
I'll call it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Two things. One positive note, one negative note. Pompeo was approved, thank God.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy that was going to be considered for the VA administration.
Ronnie Jackson.
He bailed out. That broke my heart.
Yes.
And I don't know what you have to say about either one of those, but I'll get off here and let somebody else talk. Thank you.
Well,
thanks, Fred, and keep up the good work.
You betcha. Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who has been the physician for 12 years to presidents. So he was the physician to George W. Bush in his final years in office. He was the physician to President Barack Obama for the whole 8 years that Barack Obama was president. And now he became President Trump's physician. And so President Trump nominates him to head up the VA. And all of a sudden, Barack Obama gave him glowing reviews, Ronnie Jackson. He was a great guy. But all of a sudden, rumors come out. And rumors make headlines about Dr. Jackson's character. He's a rear admiral. And maybe that's what the VA needed. But this poor man last night had a visit with the president and basically said, you know, it's not worth it. On Fox and Friends this morning, this will be cut number two, NRA spokesman Dana Lash was asked about what happens when people are nominated like this and they are being trashed by the mainstream media and the opposition. So let's hear what Dana Lash had to say about Dr. Jackson deciding he wants out of this because the nonsense that he's been subjected to. Cut number two.
At what point did they know about this where it concerned Ronnie Jackson? Apparently, it wasn't troubling or concerning enough for them to do anything about it when he was serving on staff for former President Barack Obama. But now suddenly a new president is in the White House and they have to, what I guess, make up for looking the other way all of this time. I mean, that really reflects poorly on the character of the previous administration.
Well, there you have it. Dana Lash, who's not shy about expressing her opinion on things. But this is the bottom line, folks. You have to understand, and if you listen to American Family Radio, you're probably well-educated on this already. This is all part of spiritual warfare. I'm not saying I know that Dr. Ronnie Jackson is a Christian, but I think it goes to the war on, I'll say, conservative values, which are based many times on biblical values, on Christian values. This is a war on President Trump. Because of the things that he stands for, people are against President Trump because he took a strong stand, pro-life stand. They don't like him for that. I will never forget that debate with Hillary Clinton during the election campaign when the pro-life issue was brought up. Candidate Trump was not shy about saying that he would nominate to the Supreme Court pro-life people with pro-life values. That's one reason right there. I think another reason is that he stands strong with Israel. That he declared, now other presidents, president-elects have done this, they're going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But guess what? President Trump has done that. He has a conservative economic platform that people don't like, but guess what? It's working. And he talks tough against Kim Jong-un of North Korea. He talks tough against the Iranians. And guess what? That's working. The economy is cooking, and these world dictators know that there's somebody in the White House now. When he says it's wrong and I'm going to fight it, he means it. Hey, right. Good fun to be Wynn in here for Abe Hamilton today. Fred Jackson, Lord willing, we'll see you again tomorrow on the Hamilton Corner. You take care of yourself. Have a great evening. God bless you. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.